It's always impressive, the presentation. Well, thank you, the organizers, for having me here. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, everybody who is helping, even in the simplest activity, to keep all the organization. And thank you, all the people of Tehran and Iran, for hosting us so kindly. Well, I'm a political scientist. I'm the dean of the political science faculty at Santiago de Compostela University. In this case, as I like to do, I want to try to make try to analyze what is behind strategic management, which can, as you know, be applied to any kind of field of activity. So my dissertation, my very short dissertation, is going to be about the key steps I find that condition strategic planning, processes, actors, and leadership. I'm going to try to divide my talk in three parts. First of all, I want to talk about the origins of the strategic planning. I could think about Cyrus the Great, I could think about also Darius, and so many people who apply strategic planning very well. We cannot give any lessons to them. That's the opposite. The only question is that with the passing of the centuries, we have learned many things about how to adapt the strategic planning to different cultures, as our prior colleague has said before. I want also to highlight the meaning of the strategic planning, not to try to differentiate from strategic thinking. Yesterday we had a very, very nice, very, very excellent talk about strategic thinking, but let's put ahead that, in my opinion, when we talk about strategic thinking, we are talking about a cultural vision of strategic planning. Strategic planning is just a tool. Is that a set of tools that we will have to apply later. And third, as a result of research that I'm currently running, I'm going to warn you about the key aspects that make a strategic planning work and those who we should avoid, who can make the strategic planning turning into a complete failure. So I'm going to try in these 17 minutes now to make a summary of all of these things. Well, there are many definitions of strategic planning. You know, in administrative science, we try to make many definitions, but we are defined by a lack of evidence. That's what is defining. Currently investigation, currently researching in public management and administrative sciences in general. There is a lack of evidence. We could say that there are certain elements, there are certain key points that make part of this definition. We could talk about leadership, we can talk about the roles, we can talk about the procedures, we can talk about different tools that can be applied only and always thinking in the future, in trying to arrive to a future situation. But as I told you before, the story is very long. And trying to know the story tell us about how we are approaching previous contributions to the managerial thinking, and at the same time, how we have learned. First of all, I like to define an organization, any kind of organization, as a collective action based in voluntary and permanent processes of differentiation and integration. When I talk about differentiation, I talk of specialization. And there is a very important moment in all the life of an organization, which is the design of the different roles the people have to complete at that entity. At the same time, integration is the second part. I can get the integration through hierarchy. It's a very ancient procedure. I can get integration through including rules in the behavior of people of their organization. I also can introduce cultural values, as we talked before. And finally, when everything doesn't work, we can talk about planning. Planning is a way, is like, works like a theater play in which everybody knows which character has to play, in which moment, when has to be played, and which kind of resources. The story is very long. I'm not going to tell you about everything you are seeing on the slide. Let's take the third industrial revolution. In the first industrial revolution, the managerial ideology was the social Darwinism, as you know. The victory of those more capable. So the outcome of that kind of managerial ideology was the beginning of bureaucracy and managing the organization always rooted in rules which were founded in cultural values, cultural traditional goals. Second revolution, first revolution, as you know, steam engine, second revolution, electric generation, generator, and third revolution is the invention of the personal computer. In the second revolution, we talk about a bureaucratic model, and we start talking just 150 years ago about efficiency, making things properly, making things rationally with our organization. Some of our previous ancestors talking about managing talked about the possibility of finding a formula that could be applied to any kind of organization. It's the era of the scientific management. We introduced the techniques for maximizing the productivity of every kind of organization. Third revolution. But before the third, we started making experiments with human relations. We discover leadership, we discover communication, we discover team building, we discover the adaption of work to men, not just the opposite. And at the same time, we start talking about quality management. Finally, in the third revolution, we talk about effectiveness, flexibility, and nowadays, training, capacities, organizational change, and so on. What's in common in all, unless the first era, what's in common in all of them? Bureaucracy. We all work in bureaucratic organizations, where rules are the key point to survive in the organization, to relation with the environment. That's the main point. Max Weber, in the ancient years, talked about the legitimacy of the bureaucracy was rested in the respect to the different laws that rule the organization. And all those things create the proper way to start thinking about strategic planning. Here you have a very common framework to talk about strategic planning, the framework of Norton and Kaplan, develop the strategy, plan the strategy aligned with the organization, planning operations, monitor and learn, and finally test and adapt. But strategic planning means assuming risks, we have to take decisions, we have to try to analyze the environment very well, we have to analyze research and thinking globally. I try always to say, when I teach some of my subjects about public policy assessment, public management, that people is the key factor of the organizations. I always advise my students, you are going to hear a lot about people is the key factor of the organization, but give me the results of the organization. Tell me how they really work, and I'm going to tell you if they are really the key factor. Well, there is a very important step, as you know, which is evaluating the organization. We have to talk about defining the mission, the purpose that we have to follow. We have to define the vision, our future scenario, the scenario we want to try to get, And finally, we have to make a discussion, make a debate about the values, the principles that are going to guide not the organization as an entity, but the people who belong to the organization. And that's very important, because the values, as well as the mission, and as well as the vision, has to be something that can be discovered, should be discovered by the people who belong to the organization, and never should be just the opposite. Previously, we saw a presentation where we talk about top-down, bottom-up, different styles of thinking about planning. In this case, I assume many times we have to start thinking about strategic planning in terms of top-down. But it is important, the question of bottom-up. Up to one point, one important point. Leadership. You are going to find leadership in any kind until the last place of the organization. There is a formal leadership, as you know, and there is an informal leadership. The question is to try to find people who can influence the rest of people who belong to the organization in order to carry on with all the activities of the organization. But never forget that until the farthest point of the organization, you can find a proper person with capabilities to try to get the results, and above all, to train to get together, to gather all the efforts of the organization. Well, some practices, I'm going to mix my main discourse with some reference I'm going to suggest in terms of the definition of the product, the definition of the differentiation of the product against or in contrast with other kind of organization, as I used to the example of Utrecht University, where they have developed a very good core strategy in terms of vision, mission, and so on. Well, exploring the context. I have very bad news for Jane Knight. Where we were talking yesterday afternoon about, well, not only the all people who share the excellent talk of yesterday night, we were talking about marketing of higher education. Well, I have worked some years ago with a colleague from Berkeley University, David Kerr, who's, he's specialized in policy situation. And he wrote many years ago a book called Marketing of Higher Education. He kept the thesis that marketing for higher education is among us since some years ago. Think that marketing public service started in the 20s of last century. It's a long way. But he also kept the idea that while the capitalism exists, there is going to be marketing of higher education. So, of course, there are very positive things, there are very positive concepts that we can follow in relation with marketing, in relation with the marketing management. We have to make a market study. We have to make a research on the needs, expectations of the people who belong to the organization. But we also have to find the keys to segment, to separate people according to different profiles, not to discriminate, to separate according to different kind of demands. And of course, as we talked yesterday, we have to make a very deep study of stakeholders. That's very important. And never forget, stakeholders are not only those people who are in relation with the organization. I always try to underline that people who belong to the organization are very important stakeholders who can obstacle, or who can, just the opposite, foster the activity of the organization. And another key point, the study of competencies. Another important thing, competencies are our knowledge, our skills, and our attitude. And in that sense, strategic thinking is the attitude we should assume to start thinking, to start creating, to start being imaginative, taking all the opportunities we were talking yesterday, when we think about why, what's the right path to go to the future scenario we want to get. Some best practices again, Johns Hopkins University, in terms of stakeholder involvement, organization, and training policy. Of course, any of the things I'm now, or you're seeing on the screen, perfectly after this talk, after we finish the panel, I can invite you to contact with me and I can give you more information, more documents, or even on email. Let's go to the left part of the slide. Start where you want. To make big things, start with the little things, or start with the little things to go to the main things. That's very important. In terms of strategy, we are going to try to manage the main objectives of organization to get the real scenarios, but at the same time, we have to manage the operational, the day-to-day problems we have to solve within the organization. Apart from this, it's very important to try to promote, to try to make advert, to try to make transparent, first of all, since the first moment. But apart from the first moment, trying to get together, to make them feel confident with our plan, that has to be something that we have to try to grow along all the process. We have to develop a management cycle, and to develop that cycle, we have to encourage people to trust in this project. That's very important. Identify also the key actors with their key responsibilities. Pompeu Fabra University. I avoid including the link to their website, but I really suggest you to take a look. They only have one site for the strategic planning. In terms of identity, in terms of design, it's fantastic. It's fantastic, very simple, very clean, all the information you can get. I really encourage you to take a look. And monitoring. Always try to introduce indicators, as we have talked in different phases, even in my previous college this year, when we were talking about policy evaluation. The indicator tell us about how we are doing, how we are running the strategy, but also how or what we can learn about the strategy we are implementing. Well, require leadership skills. If I had enough time, I would tell you about Ernest Shackleton. British people know the story of Ernest Shackleton, the famous explorer who tried to cross really the Antarctic continent. He had determination. He had the skill to think in terms of the collaborators, of all the people who were with him. He managed emotions, and that's very important in the life of organization. He had also an adaptive capacity of adaptation. That's a very common feature of strategic planning. And finally, I have been, as I told you in the beginning, made a research. I usually teach in Latin America and in different countries of Europe, top officials in government. My last courses were with top officials who had a very deep experience in strategic planning. Before starting with any kind of issue, I asked them, well, what do you know, or which kind of factors do you identify as the key factors that can make strategic planning succeed? And at the same time, the opposite. Which factors are going to keep us, are going to take us to the failure, to the complete failure? I only underline five. Not all, we could be discussing all of them the rest of the day. Get everyone involved and committed. Correctly define the objectives, goals, and strategies. Have and use an adequate monitoring system, analyze the context correctly, and share the project and the results through socialization and communication. Well, the other side, things to avoid. Low flow of available resources, changes in leadership or the planning team. That's a very common threat to every policy, the changing in the leadership role. Lack of motivation and commitment, no adaptation to contextual changes, and finally, personnel with scarce or insufficient technical training. Let me finish with a poem. You are a country of poets. Let me, I don't know Farsi, I saw the translation, but let me remember. I'm not anyone. I don't want to be anyone. I shall never be anyone. Beyond that, in myself, I have all the dreams of the world. I hope you have the same dreams like me. Thank you very much.